All right, I'm Algie Crumpler. I attended UNC on a football scholarship, graduated with a BS in communications, played 10 years in the NFL, and married my college sweetheart. And now I'm committed to raising my family and doing volunteer work. That's me in a nutshell. But after reading all the wonderful Carolina stories prior to mine, I feel that I owe a little bit more. I truly believe the start to every Carolina story should ask the question, when did you fall in love with UNC? Because for me, it took quite a while. My first love was a school 2 hours to the east, East Carolina University, the one that my father, ECU Hall of Fame running back, Carl Lester Crumpler, made a name for himself, and also the same school in which my older brother, Carl Lester T. Crumpler, was an All-American. My father was a color analyst for the Pirate Football Radio Network, alongside the voice of the Pirates, Jeff Charles. Each Saturday when I was growing up, when the Pirates had a home football game, you could find me listening to my father on a set of broken headphones in one ear while walking up and down the aisle selling peanuts, often getting lost in the days, watching my brother play on offense. My dad called every single collegiate game for my older brother that he played in at East Carolina, and in my mind, he was going to do the same for me. UNC wasn't even on my radar. My teams were the East Carolina Pirate football team and the Fab Five Michigan basketball team. Well, until Chris Webber called that timeout. What a game. UNC's first basketball championship since 1982 when Mike Jordan hit the shot. So now the newly minted national champs put all things Tar Heels on my radar. And a few years later, a visit to Chapel Hill in the summer of 1995 was all I needed to be all in. I attended the Mack Brown football camp, and the coach offered me a full scholarship on the spot. I was elated. He wanted me to commit, and I was a rising senior at that time in school, and in those days, you didn't always commit that early. The hardest part of making the decision was the understanding that if I chose UNC, there would be limited opportunities for my father to see me play. He would still be calling games for the Pirate Radio Network for ECU on the same Saturdays I would be eventually lacing up my cleats to play in Keenan Stadium. He said, and I remember it clearly, son, it's your decision. Handle yourself with class, and I'll come to as many games as I can, which happens to only be a few. So I eventually committed, played my senior year of high school, devoted my fandom to all things Tar Heels, Michigan Hoop, and prepared for my official visit. The weather the week of my official visit wasn't great. If any of you were here in January of 1996, there was a massive snowstorm. I desperately wanted to head to Chapel Hill for my visit. As my mom and I started the journey, what would normally take 2.5 hours to drive from Wilmington to Chapel Hill, it took about 4 hours as the snow started to fall again. As we got towards Raleigh, the snow was just coming down even harder. The roads were slick, and my mom, a praying woman, just uttered the words, "Thank you, Jesus," about 50 times in the final hour of our trek from Raleigh, given the slower speeds. There wasn't much to do on campus given the weather, but the laughs and jokes from the guys who would eventually become my teammates made it a worthwhile trip. After graduation, high school graduation, I spent the summer working at a local amusement park in Wilmington called Jungle Rapids. And I played basketball every single day at the YMCA. I was in impeccable shape, running wise, but I wasn't anywhere near as strong as I needed to be. The first week on campus, our strength coach, the legendary Jeff Mad Dog Madden, put us through a battery of tests, a survival run, which in essence was a timed 1,000-yard shuttle, past that with flying colors, and some max out tests in the weight room. I bench pressed 295 pounds at a soaking wet 215-pound body weight. I was pretty happy. 5 minutes later, two of my classmates, Brandon Spoon and James Wagstaff, had bench pressed 430 pounds apiece. Think about it, 18-year-olds bench pressing 430 pounds. I was devastated. I was one of the strongest guys in my school. I called my father and I told him I was a bit nervous about the journey ahead. He told me whatever room you're in, you have to put in the work. As long as I did that, everything would be fine. So off to work I went. My first 2 years at UNC from a football record standpoint were the best 2 years in Carolina football history. 10 wins in 1996, followed by 11 in 1997, and all ACC honors. Even then, not too many people knew who I was. Far before the NIL deals, or for those that don't know, name, image, and likeness that's in the news every day, where athletes can profit off of their names, I had to find other ways to get noticed. Because of the rules, I couldn't do any commercials like Sam Howell did for Bojangles. So no one in the state could pitch a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit for Bojangles in 1996 quite like me. So I did the next best thing. I did what everyone else in Chapel Hill did in the mid-90s if they wanted to be known. I strolled right down to Sutton's Pharmacy on Franklin Street, ordered the best meal that I could afford, two hot dogs, got my picture taken, and made sure upon return that it got good placement, somewhere within the same gaze as the photos of Anton Jameson and Vince Carter. Definitely the two most famous faces on campus at the time. Had I known he'd be as famous as he is now, I'd have had my picture placed somewhere near Douglas Dibbert. Now, my first 2 years of college had flown by, but 1998 wasn't quite what I had in mind. Mack Brown, my favorite coach, he leaves to go coach the University of Texas. And in spring ball, I tore my ACL a few months later. And in the fall, I could only watch from the sidelines. My younger brother, Brian, a Morehead Cain scholar, was in the marching band. Some weeks I would stay back to watch the band perform at halftime if we were winning, something I was never able to do when I was playing. That was usually the only thing I smiled about because I missed playing so much. I had to take a medical red shirt and it forced myself to lock in academically because who drafts guys in the NFL with a bum knee? I still managed to earn All-ACC two more seasons. And on top of that, I was able to finish second in the shot put at the track and field ACC championships a year later. In December of 2000, I graduated with a BS in communications and still managed to get drafted in the second round of the NFL draft. The next few years were important. My focus was on building my career and starting my own family with my new wife, Jennifer, UNC class of 98, and eventually my three beautiful daughters, Kendall, Ava, and Campbell. My NFL career was off and running. By my third year with the Atlanta Falcons, I had reached Pro Bowl status. I was now one of the best in the league at my position. Four straight trips to Hawaii to play in the Pro Bowl was my reward. I loved it. I had an opportunity to be teammates at the Pro Bowl with Julius Peppers, Dre Bly, William Henderson, Greg Ellis, and Jeff Saturday. The Hills were well represented. Football was doing me well. Atlanta was good for me. Our team owner, Arthur Blank, taught me a lot about community service. He always spoke to the team to make sure we would strive to win a championship on and off the field. Tuesdays during the season when I dedicated off day. It was often filled with hospital visits, elementary school visits, and planned team bonding events. I was building something special with my local community, whether we won or lost on the previous Sunday. I felt I needed to have that same energy for servitude in the offseason for my home community. I was appointed the honorary chair for the capital campaign to raise funds for the Boys and Girls Clubs in Pitt County where I had attended the clubs in my youth. I gave financially to the campaign, but more importantly, I gave my time. I would fly into North Carolina numerous times during the offseason, visiting with companies and individuals until we raised over $2 million to break ground on new clubs. I credit the Boys and Girls Clubs, along with my family and faith, for helping to build the foundation for who I am today. In 2007, I was inducted into the National Boys and Girls Club Alumni Hall of Fame. My time in the Atlanta Falcons was up after 7 years. I was proud to have been a captain of the team and a pillar in the community. And I decided to permanently call Atlanta my home, even though my career would continue elsewhere. The next journey was in Nashville with the Tennessee Titans for 2 years, followed by a year in Foxborough with the New England Patriots. I retired having been a captain alongside Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback to ever play, and Bill Belichick, the greatest coach to ever coach. I suited up for all but four games over a 10-year career, and it was a wonderful ride. The things I missed the most about playing on game days was the bus rides to the stadium. I had been playing or working in the stadium since I was a kid. The one thing I never had the chance to do was tailgate. I attended one or two in the year that I retired, but I wanted so much more of it. 2 years later, I bought a 43-foot long motor home, and I was determined to tailgate. On Friday afternoons, I would start my six-hour drive from Atlanta to Chapel Hill to tailgate. I would pull into the Skipper Bowles lot across from the Smith Center late at night, set up the tailgate bright and early in the morning, cheer on the Tar Heels in my box next to Larry Cottle, and watch my three beautiful daughters, Kendall, Ava, and Campbell, fall in love with Chapel Hill. Then I would load up and leave at 4 a.m. to race back to Atlanta in time to do the pregame radio show for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, just like my dad. I had gotten into sports radio work part-time, but by the time I had purchased my RV, I was working 6 to 10 a.m. daily covering the Atlanta Falcons, the Atlanta Braves, World Series champs now, the Atlanta Hawks, the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, and the newly minted Georgia Bulls, national champion Georgia Bulldogs. Those were fun years, especially when the teams were good. When they weren't, it was extremely tough telling our listeners the honest truth. And I did, but they loved it. Team Brass, not so much. Football retirement was going well, but there was more that I could be doing. Midway through my career, my wife and I had decided to endow a scholarship through the Rams Club as a thank you for what was done for me throughout my time at UNC. After all, when I tore my ACL, my future was uncertain. The training staff and the new coaches, they stuck by me. In essence, I gave my scholarship back. I was proud to be able to do that financially. I was proud to be in a position financially to be able to do that. And my mom always said, son, when you give from the heart. And I certainly did. I gave from the heart, and I enjoyed the Rams Club points that came with it. I purchased great seats on the run to Roy Williams' first title in 2005. I drove to Greensboro for two games. I flew to Syracuse for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, and then ultimately the championship against Illinois and St. Louis. I was there. Roy Williams won three titles. I was at all of them. When my football team heads to the college football playoffs, I'll be there too. And now, many years retired, I want to do even more. I spoke with Ken Mack of the Rams Club, and I told him I was ready to do what I can to help UNC. He introduced me to the Rams Club Advisory Board. That opportunity put me in a position to learn about the operational needs of our 800 student athletes across 28 sports on this campus. I now serve on the executive board of the Rams Club, which has just surpassed the $500 million for all kind capital campaign goal, the third largest in the university's $4.25 billion campaign for Carolina Gulf. Servitude, as you can tell by now, is one of my core principles, and it's why I'm committed to so many causes on this beautiful campus. Mac Brown tells every recruit coming to Carolina that it's a 40-year decision, not just a four-year decision. So I'll be committed to a lifetime of service. So when Doug Dibrick calls and say you've been elected to the GAA board, spoiler, Greg Parent broke the news before you. You, sir. When Chancellor Guskowitz calls and say we need you on the Chancellor's Philanthropic Council, which I serve on now, you, sir. When Ken Mack and John Montgomery of the Rams Club call and say we need you to serve on the executive board of the Rams Club, you serve. And when the board of trustees say come join the board of visitors, you serve. If it's a 40-year decision, I'm only halfway through the journey, and I look forward to serving many, many more years. And that's my Carolina story.